Christianity. It's a life. It's a way of life. It's the power. It's the kingdom that God has given to us. It's not a religion. I mean, you can religiously go to the store every day at 6 o'clock. That's something you do continuously. So it's not a religion. We didn't lose religion, and we have made our power, the connection that God has given to us, we have turned it into a religion. So when we fell from grace, it wasn't the religion that we lost. It was the kingdom. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says religion. You know, you lost your religion. So this is why religion can never satisfy deep hunger in the heart of man. You can go to the church, and like so many people, they're in the church, they're looking for certain things from God or certain expectations from the church, and they're disappointed because religion has told them that you'll find this in the church, you'll find that in the church, and when you go to the church, this will go on and that will go on. And religion says that anything that, you know, that people with human minds does should not be found in the church. But we're human beings in the church. Hello. And we're subject to error. We're subject to as many errors as any other human is subject to. And so if that were not so, then Christ would have died for nothing. And so we're the reason, because we're so human, that he had died and went to the cross for us. So when we fell, we didn't lose religion. Like I said, we lost our kingdom, our privileges to the kingdom. And that's why we're still hungry. You're still searching. You're still looking for something. You go to church. You're in every service, and you're in prayer meeting. You're in Bible study. You're giving your tithes and offering, and there's still something there, because there's something that the church has not tapped into, because we're still trying to understand the things of God with our natural mind, and it can't be done. Hello? Amen. So if you want to have a kingdom mind, then you have to change your mind. And so that's why in our heart we're still hungering and we're still thirsting after righteousness. Just coming as a religious person, coming to service all the time, you're still in that search. Seeking you, religion in itself is a search. No religion can substitute for the kingdom. Nothing can fill that vacuum that the Son of God has filled. Nothing in your soul can help you accomplish or to soothe whatever the lacking is in your soul, because we have a natural or spiritual desire to connect with God, and then the church, the religion in the church, don't allow us that connection with God. Why? Because there's so many man-made rules. Hello? And we don't look right. We don't act right. We don't act like religion say we're supposed to act. We don't dress like religion say we're supposed to dress. And we're not doing what religion say we're supposed to do. And we have to obey the laws of God. Hello? And so we were looking, and then we don't obey man, and that, because, I mean, the laws, if we can obey the laws of the church, then we're one step further to obeying the laws of God, because the laws of the church are right there before you, and the people are there to enforce the laws. The Bible is written, the laws of God are written in the Bible, in the Word of God. There's nobody there to enforce it but the Holy Spirit. If you read it and allow yourself to siphon it, and so the hunger in the heart of us, we're hungering for the lost kingdom that Adam and Eve lost a long time ago. There's that desire to get back to heaven on earth. Jesus said, remember, he said, occupy until I come. And that don't mean just get in a corner and sit there, just take up a portion of the earth and, you know, and say, okay, I got my little corner, and I'm going to wait here till Jesus comes. No, it don't mean that. It means do something. Conquer. The first thing, my mind always goes back to when God allowed Joshua to lead Israel over into the promised land after the other patriarchs couldn't go over, Moses and all of them. He told them, now go in and possess the land. He could have just gone over there himself and wiped everybody out and said, okay, now the land is yours. But he told Joshua, he said, you possess it. In other words, you have the strength in you to possess it. If we're not possessing, and I'm a big believer in this, if we're not possessing, then we're not in the place that God wants us to be. And I'm not talking about things. Your land is not just where you live or where you dwell, but everything that belongs to you, your children that came from your womb, that's your land. We have to take dominion and authority. You got to put some stuff down and say, you know what? This is for my child. Here, this is for my child. No, I'm gonna sacrifice this time, Lord. I'm gonna lay before my face before you until you guide me on what to do for my child, because the child I'm going. But while we don't do that, we pray a little bit. We stand in the prayer line for our children. We pray a little bit. Am I right about it? And, you know, we say, the Lord going to do this and the Lord going to do that. But we never, ever just forcefully take, speak from our mouths, he is going to be somebody. She is going to be somebody. You send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, go with them, you know, wherever they are. Take them in, whatever it takes for you to take dominion and authority. Take it. Start speaking to the Spirit, because we are wrestling with flesh and blood now. Not wrestling with flesh and blood now. We're wrestling with the Spirit. So you got to learn how to deal with the Spirit and not the flesh. Hello? So our deep desire is to get back to heaven. So we have been created to live a heavenly life here on earth in the Garden of Eden, and that trust was broken some years ago. But the hunger is still there for us. We still want to walk in the cool of the evening with God. We still want to be able to reach and pull from the fruit and eat from the fruit that heals. And the healing fruit is here on earth. We just don't know what it is. We're so busy taking doctor's medicine and putting chemicals in our bodies when God has placed healing fruits here for us to eat. But we're so blinded by our flesh that we can't go to God and say, you know what, Lord, there has to be something to take care natural that's taking care that I should eat or drink to take care of my high blood pressure. We scared God going to say, don't eat no more pork. Oh, we love pork chops. Hello. And jerk pork, we love that. We are scared he's going to say, no more salt in your food. Hello. And these are things that we need to do. We pray for health, and then we'll go eat a whole tub of food. That's not spiritual, and it's not healthy. If you're going to walk, ask God to heal, then you got to walk in healing. It's impossible to walk in healing when you know you're diabetic and you're eating a piece of big old chunk of cake. Hello? Drinking sodas. And you say, the Lord's supposed to heal me. And God is looking at you. Heal yourself. Put that stuff down. You hear me? Told Luke, physician, heal thyself. Heal yourself. The healer is on the inside. Our bodies were naturally designed to fight off germs and to heal itself. It carries a certain amount of germs to kill other germs. But we done shot them down with that acid that was made in the laboratories. We shot our bodies down with that, eating up the linings of our stomach and stuff. Because if y'all saw that picture on Facebook, I noticed this years ago about this lady cleaning her car, the bumper, rust off her bumper with a Coca-Cola. But I told my husband years ago, I said, you know what? We have been drinking these Coke, and the way you drink Coke and Pepsi, I remember years ago my mom had corrosion on her battery, on her car. And she took a Coca-Cola and poured it on the battery and cleaned her corrosion off of her battery with that. If it does that to batteries, can you imagine what it's doing to our inner? And he said, that's what he said, mm-hmm. And kept, while he was drinking, sipping on a Pepsi. Mm-hmm. While he was sipping on a Pepsi. And so we know this stuff, and then we want the preacher to pray for us. You know, we fast and pray and carry on, and then we want the preacher to lay hands on us and bring us out of this, and then we go right home and drink a Pepsi. No, before we leave out the church, because we got them in here. And we go drink a Pepsi. So we have to walk in all the grace that God has given us. But the Garden of Eden is right here. All we have to do is be obedient. Obedience is not just in okay, like preaching the gospel. Okay, God told me to tell so-and-so and I didn't. You know, we want to look so deep and so like magnanimous. You know, God uses me. But what about being deep in your health? You know, the Lord told me I shouldn't eat sweets because this is what it does to me. But I sure love that sugar. And guess what? Sugar was once brown, but the bleach in it turned it white, and we eat it in our system, but we want God to heal us. Hello? Now they're growing chicken legs and stuff in the factory. Watch out. And we love fried chicken, but we want God to heal us. My husband once told me, because his grandma had a chicken farm, and he told me, said, Bishop said, his grandma said that the white eggs of a chicken, when those chickens that have white eggs, when you buy them white eggs, that means those chickens' feet ain't never touch the ground. So that means they're up on they somewhere in a laboratory, dropping eggs, feeding them that fast growth stuff, so the eggs can hurry up and come, and they can hurry up and get fat and go to slaughter, drop them eggs and go to slaughter. And we just frying chicken and eating eggs. He said, Lord, heal me, heal my body. There's something wrong with that picture. Am I right about it? There is something vastly wrong with that. We just need to get our head together and say, you know what, God, I got it now. When are we as Christians and as children of God going to say, I get it. I get it. We love to eat too much. We spend hundreds of dollars in the grocery store. That's one store that ain't going to never go out of business. Because before we buy clothes, we're going to eat. And because we have become a people that live to eat, and we're supposed to eat to live, it don't take a big plate of food this high to keep us alive. Bread and water will keep us alive. Do you know that? A piece of fruit and a glass of water a day will keep us alive. It's nutrition. Some vegetables without meat, vegetables and fruit and water will keep us alive. Look at the Hebrew boys and Daniel them. They didn't eat all the stuff we eat. And they were healthier than all that steak and all that stuff the king's people ate. All that good food they ate, and they were healthier than them after a time. If you want to get healthy, we're going to have to go back to kingdom life living. And take, first of all, we can't take dominion and authority over nothing. Because some of us ain't even got no willpower. You can't take dominion and authority over nothing else until you get dominion and authority over your life and over your health. So you speak to yourself, and you know what? It's good. I used to tell myself once when I was on my health thing, and I would say, man, I love that cake. But the way I convinced myself is to say, you know what? It's only going to taste as good as it's only going to be good until you put it in your mouth. Once you swallow it, it's gone. You don't taste it no more. So we have to learn that we don't have to have a giant piece of this. A little piece of this will do good. We got to have the whole thing. That's a slice for us. For some people, that's a slice. I ain't calling no name. A slice got to be about that big. But a little slice like that, we don't do that no more. You know, we don't do the little slices. We got to have the whole side of the cake or the whole side of the pie. And we're bringing our own health down, but we want to stand in the prayer line all the time. And God is looking down from heaven saying, now, she already got them black eyed peas with pog moss in them or pigtails in them, collard greens with pigtails in them, roast pork. Hello. All this stuff she got on the stove when she go home. Big peach cobbler sitting in the corner. And she's standing in the prayer line. And can't even get healed but thinking about, I'm glad I'm going to eat them greens up. Ooh, Lord, am I. if they'll be gone when you get there. So we have this hunger. There's a hunger in our heart to have a walk with God, but we have to bring everything. The body especially has to be under subjection to God, because God can't get no glory anyway out of a sick body. We make our own selves sick. We do. We might tell people, oh, she make me sick. You look in the mirror and say, you make me sick. Because guess what? You're telling the truth. You made me sick. Yeah, we make ourselves sick, and we want to blame everybody and everything. It's in the food. And today, as many people as there are, especially in this country, I don't know about the other countries. Maybe it's not many people in other countries. Half of them over here. But over there in these United States, there are so many people. So they have to make the food grow fast, right? The vegetables, they have to put this fast grow on them. They plant a seed, and by Tuesday, you're eating collard greens. Maybe not that fast, but pretty fast. Overnight, you got a whole bunch of greens setting up, you know, and this type of stuff, and we love collard greens. Pork, you the baby pig just came out, barely walking, and in a month's time, he's going to the slaughter, big old fat hog. Now, what happened? How did he get so big in a month's time? Those things, those chemicals that they feed him, that fast growth, and we go to the slaughterhouse and to the market, and we buy them, and we go home and cook it, and we eat them. We eat the same things. We eat that food that pig was. Well, the heat will kill it, will it? 6 months time.
6 months.
It takes 6 months for them to grow up?
Yeah. For a hog.
For a hog.
Get that feed, the hog weigh about 1,500 pounds, so it takes about 6 months for them to
Well, they ain't waiting that long no more. And we're eating it. We love it. Hurry up. The more they speed it up, the more we go and get it. They ran out of pork roast. Oh, don't worry. We have something tomorrow for y'all. Got a pig waiting to be cut up right now. He was just born last month, so we're going to cut him up. We got it for you. So we have to use wisdom, use our head. We're going to have to learn how to change our taste buds and start acquiring a taste for healthier food. Because really, if we want God to keep us strong and keep us healthy, we got to eat like we want to keep strong and we want to keep healthy. Amen? I just like running out in front of a transfer truck and say, Lord, save me. Okay. What's wrong with that picture? You saw that big old transfer bus coming, and you gonna run out there in front of it. You get run over. Now everybody blaming God. God, why you letting me run over? What? And that's the same thing we do with our bodies when we eat the wrong food. Number five, the message of the Bible. The fundamental message of the Bible is about a king and a kingdom. A king and a kingdom. Who's the king? God is. Who's the kingdom? We are his kingdom. It's all talking about king. We're his kingdom. We're his, what do you call it, the people that lives in the region. What are they called? Oh, my God. Well, I say the inhabitants. We're the inhabitants. But the kingdom is everything about us, everything, the nation, our lives, our health, everything. The whole world is his kingdom. But he allowed us freedom of the kingdom. So it's talking about the king and how he wants to rule his kingdom. See how he protects his kingdom. The Bible is not all just primarily about religion and rituals, but it's the establishment of a kingdom, rulership on this planet from the heavenly realm. God wants to rule again. We pray it all the time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is. Hello? Uh-huh. Amen. We pray that prayer all the time, Bishop.
I want to back up just a little bit. You know, we're talking about the food. You know, we talk about, you know, how we eat the wrong food. I just want to say this, that for the people that have time to cook that food, I know my grandmother, she always had a wooden stove. And the way she used to cook that food was with a real low fire. And she said that we bought her a gas stove, and she said it was one of the children because she could cut it down real low. She said that the fire was still cooking the food too fast. She said that it wasn't going to be long for the food that was going to kill you. So she said the food wasn't right. So she never did. She never used a gas stove. But I said that to say this. We need to take our time to cook our food. Everybody, you know, we don't get going all day long. And
put on high.
Make us fat.
But I don't even know if there are any vitamins or nutrients with all the chemicals they put in it now. That's another question. Are there vitamins in the food anymore? Are there nutrients? Because they got all these chemicals that the food is being treated with. So we have to be careful. We pray over our food and we eat it, but like Bishop said, slow cook it. Everything is done fast today. We cook fast, they grow it fast, and we cook it fast. That's double trouble. The microwave. We heat it up in the microwave. So we got to be careful about that, right? So the Bible is about a divine project of governing the earth from heaven through mankind. God wants to take control, but he wants to do it through us. But we got to get ourselves in line and in projection to under him. We have to be subject to the Holy Spirit. And some things, you can't be subject to him in some things. Some things we say, we're subject, I'm subject to the Lord, and some things you let God have control over in your life, and some things you don't. You know I'm right. Say amen. He's got to have all of it, right? In order for you to be a rule, in order for you to operate in kingdom jurisdiction, kingdom district, you've got to have allow God. You have to be led by the king. Follow all of the king's rules. You can't shortcut, because the king is going to take care of his kingdom, but all he wants is for you to follow his rules. Amen? And so we have to understand that God wants to rule the earth through us, and it's about a royal family that's mandated to colonize the earth from heaven. When I was reading Miles Monroe's book, and he was talking about colonization and about kingdom living, something we in America, the Westerners, we don't know nothing about. Only those people, the Easterners, know, because the Bahamas used to be under the Queen's rulership, and they know about having a king over them or a queen over them. It's so, when I was reading about, he was just describing how kingship and kingdom principle go, it was mind-boggling, because here we have a democracy, or so they say, a democracy. We all vote. We don't know what happens after that, okay? So it seems like a democracy. So over here we have a democracy, and then we have people that make laws on our behalf, and they pass them on our behalf, so to speak. But over there, and in England and other places that still have their queens and their kings and stuff ruling over them, the kingdom actually belongs to the king or the queen. The people are allowed to use it. God allows us to utilize this earth. It doesn't belong to us. People have bought property, bought land, killed over property, killed over land. Actually, it don't even belong to them. When you die, you're only going back to dust, and you ain't taking that land with you. Somebody else going to be back here fighting over it. When a king rules, he takes good care of the people that's under his rulership. They don't like and they don't want nothing. He won't find a bunch of poor people under his rulership. They're going to take care of them. Remember Solomon and the Queen of Sheba? When she came over, she heard about Solomon's wisdom. And so she said, I got to go hear this man. Everybody talked and said that he's the wisest man in the world, and I got to go see him, his wealth. She brought so much wealth with her to give to him. And when you go see the king, you always bring gifts. And she brought him a lot of wealth. But her entrance into the city, she noticed how rich he was even before she got to him, because she saw his servants that were working in the fields, the servants that were just doing whatever they were doing, cleaning or whatever. They were sitting down having lunch. But these people were eating out of gold plates and with gold spoons. Their glasses were crystal. In their houses, in their homes, they lived in fine houses. And in their homes, they had stones and marble and stuff. And this lady was like, oh, my God, this place is so wealthy. This man is so rich that even his servants are wealthy. As servants of the Lord and under his kingdom, under his kingship, for him to rule over us, when we are submissive to him and following his laws. And the thing is, under the kingship, you have to follow the king's laws to the left. You can't deviate from them. You can't come up with your own little plan to do things. But you have to follow the laws. And you can use any part of the land you want. But it goes back to them. When you die, it goes back to the kingship, and anybody else can take it. You don't walk around here talking about it goes on to my children's once removed and all that. Everybody has plenty. But we have to have that mind to obey. And as children of God, we are his kingdom. And when you get the mindset that, okay, I am going to obey, and only thing you're going to know about the rulership of God is in his word, I'm going to obey the rule of God because I want that heavenly realm in my life. I want to have that walk with God, that connection with God that Adam had way back in the day, him and Eve, before they allowed their flesh to destroy it. I want to have that kingdom rulership. I want to have authority and dominion that God told me to have. I want to take the land that God gave me. Hello. and told me to take. So he said, let them have dominion over all the earth. God's plan for man was to extend his heavenly kingdom, which is his government, to the earth through the principle of colonization, colonizing the land. Everybody, God is in charge. He's in rulership. Who is your Lord? The God, the Lord of heaven, the God, the creator of the heavens and earth, the one and true living God. Who is your director? God. Who is your covenant? God. Hello, who's your boss? God. God is. We'll let him have dominion over some things that's easy to give up, but we won't let him have dominion over everything. And a king has to have dominion over everything. Our assignment was to establish the influence and the culture of heaven right here on earth, representing God's nature, representing his values and the morality on earth. But we don't do that because we don't want to learn the nature of God. You got to read the Bible to know your God. People say, well, you know, I read my school. You got to really read and study about this God. Because from Genesis to all the way to Revelation tell you the type of God that we serve. You say, well, I don't believe God would do that. Well, how do you know? Have you read the things and the consequences for obedience and the love and how he nurtures and how he goes out of the way to help his people and how he will judge you in your sin? Hello? Have you read his compassion and his discipline to know? Have you read the curses in Deuteronomy 28 as well as the blessings? Or did you get to the blessings and stop? God wants to establish his kingdom in us. What is moral? There are some things that Christians do that they know are immoral. Even if I wasn't a Christian, some of the things that some Christians do, I wouldn't do it when I was in the world. Y'all hear me? And they call themselves Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like. And some of that stuff people do, God, Christ don't come nowhere near. First thing you do, you ain't nobody hypocrite. You're a whitewashed wall. You're a sufferer. Told him you're rotten to the core. You dress up the inside on the outside and the inside rotten to the bones. You tell them just like it is. You're not living what you say you're living. And this is what kingdom living is about. When we say thy kingdom come, you got to be that kingdom that says, okay, the King Jesus himself, when he came, he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is available to you. All you got to do is get it. Here are the keys to the kingdom. Accept me as your Savior and then walk in the laws and the precepts of God. Honor me in righteousness and in holiness. Preach my gospel. Tell them right from wrong. Hello. Take authority. We had a heavenly rule that would manifest itself on the earth and extend the image of mankind. This was the first kingdom. God, the King, he extended his heavenly kingdom to earth through his offspring, spring, the man, walking in the cool of the garden with the Lord. It's a wonderful story. We know the story of Adam, how he walked through the garden with the Lord, had communication. They sit down and talk together, or whatever, maybe not sit down, but Adam would sit there and him and God would talk. They had a conversation. And this is what God wanted. The relationship he had with Adam and Eve in the garden, that's what he wants with us. That's why he even when he wiped everybody off the face of the earth during Noah's time, he started over with a fresh people, and we still, because of the flesh, we still fell short in so many ways. We fell short of the kingdom. But then he sent his son, Jesus. Well, you know, I got to find a way to redeem man unto myself. So I'll prepare myself a body and go down and redeem them because they can't do it within themselves. It has to be a blood. Without the blood sacrifice, there is no remission of sin. So it had to be a blood sacrifice. So he said, I'll do it through my son. The blood sacrifice, that's love. That he gave his one and only son for us. Jesus said when he came in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also because for this purpose I was sent. Also in Luke 4:43, he says, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, also in John 18:37. I came here because I came to take kingdom rulership back from the devil. When you allow your members, remember Apostle Paul said, your father is him who you hear your members to. Your members of your body, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your whatever, feet, hands, Whatever you do with this, your body, is you're yielding to whoever your father is. So if you commit sin, if you steal, if you lie, if you cheat, if you commit fornication and adultery, whatever you do with this body, is you're yielding to your father, who is the devil. So get that straight. That means the devil have kingdom rulership over you. When I learned that principle, I said, no more. Hello? I will not allow him to rule over me. Come on, somebody. The body, the flesh want to do, the flesh want to do just what it does, and that's sin. That's in the flesh. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to fight. Hello? Number six, misunderstanding of Jesus and the kingdom. Number six, we're on number six, misunderstanding of Jesus and the kingdom. Misunderstanding of Jesus has caused Muslims to reject him. Misunderstanding of Jesus has caused Hindus to suspect him. Misunderstanding of Jesus has caused Buddhists to ignore him. Misunderstanding Jesus has caused atheists to hate him and agnostics to deny him because they don't have a clue. They have misunderstood his purpose and who he is from day one. He is the king. He came back for the kingdom to preach the kingdom of God. To tell the people, tell dying men and women that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That the truth is right there in your lips. All you got to do is confess it. And once you confess it, believe it in your heart, you'll be saved. Now go and sin no more. Every time he did a miracle, every time he healed somebody, every time he delivered somebody, he said, go and sin no more. Meaning that you like that because that sin put you in that shape. So now that I delivered you out of it, don't do that no more. Because the worst of thing will come on you. Read your scriptures. Read your scriptures. Know the word of God. When you find yourself, when you get delivered, I notice a lot of people come into church and they get delivered and God strengthens them and they be gung-ho and a gusty and a going. And then after a while, it starts slowing down and they don't show up for service no more. They don't show up for Bible study. They don't show up for prayer meeting. They stop coming to church. And after a while, they back out there worse than they were the first time, doing worse of things than they did the first time. Why? Because like the scripture says, if you go back out there, that devil that left you goes back and gets seven more, and they fill you up, and now you're doing worse than you did before. That's why it's important. It's important that God has kingdom rulership over you. So the devil don't like you. He don't care nothing about you. He hates us so much because we belong to, we're children of God. And his desire is to destroy us. He don't stop because you get comfortable and lay down and go to sleep. You think he stopped? No, he don't. Because you done got saved and now you say, okay, I'm saved now. I gave my life to Christ. You know, I ain't got to do nothing else no more. You better. You better be praying. You better be reading your Bible. You better learn how to take dominion and authority. You better learn how to apply this word because guess what? He'll be slapping you from one side, up one side, and down the other. Because he don't like you, right? Israel continued. White people remain stubbornly hoping for earthly happiness for all people. Israel continues to look for salvation in the here and now, and that will come with the coming of the Messiah. Jesus is also living from this perspective, not for nothing, but at birth, the angels sing peace on earth. Christianity explains it later, however, under the influence of the ancient Greeks and the church fathers, yet the emphasis on individual salvation is hereafter. Peace on earth. Once the child was born, that's it. Now the kingdom is here. It's ready now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to point you to the kingdom. It's what Jesus did. But a lot of people didn't go. A lot of people are not going today. We have our own thing that we do in the house of God. We don't want to surrender, like I said. We don't want to give up. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him in Acts 1 and 6, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They still had a carnal mind on this thing. They still didn't have a grasp on what he was talking about. That's why you have to renew your way of thinking. We can't see it, the description of the kingdom. We can't see it the way we would ordinarily see it in our natural minds. We have to understand it through the spiritual realm. But they still wanted him to restore the kingdom. The Jews were hoping to be released from Roman suppressors, but they missed the essence that the solution was in an invisible and a spiritual kingdom. Your heart has to change. Your mind has to change. You can't see that he's untangible. The kingdom is untangible. You can't touch it. But you got to know with an assurance. In other words, you got to get some guts and some faith. Faith is not just for you to say, I got faith and I'm going to believe God for a car. I'm going to believe God for good health and all this. Faith is there for you to know who you serve and know the truth of who you serve. Begin to act like it. Act like you believe this gospel. Stop being mealy mouth and I don't know. You better start acting like you're a child of God, because when you get mealy mouth, the devil will beat you down every time. He knows just where you weak at. And he'll send it right there your way. And next thing you know, you done fail him. Well, I made a mistake because you didn't stand up. Hello? Don't leave yourself open like that. Don't leave yourself. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Because I should have known the first time. Hello, after the first time, I should have been ready. But the enemy knows that you know, okay, I'm going to try this again. I know she was weak here before. I know he was weak here before. So let me fix it up real good for him. And because you let your guard down, he don't never give up. He never let his guard down. Don't you do it. Always be ready. But many Israelites, those of whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness. This is the final punishment. Matthew 8 and 12, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they didn't get it together. We got a form of godliness, but not according to righteousness, the Apostle Paul said. It's still going on today. It wasn't just back in those days, but people today have a form of godliness, but not according to righteousness, not according to right standing in Christ Jesus. They want everything the Bible offers, but they don't want to give themselves solely and totally to God. They don't want to surrender all. The songwriter said, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. We don't want to do that. We want to freely give nothing. We just want to give a little bit. Okay, God, you can have this little bit right here, but I still want to do some stuff with this over here, so I'm going to keep this for a while. You got to give it all up, everything, everything that hinders and holds you back from falling into kingdom rulership, then you need to give it up. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's a marvelous thing in our eyes. Matthew 21, 42 to 43 says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation that bear fruit of it. The Jews, they couldn't accept it. Here it is, this child that was born in Nazareth, he called himself the king of the Jews. He called himself the Savior. They couldn't accept it. So the kingdom was snatched on them and given to us, and now here we are, we ain't accepting it either. We're not really walking in it. We have a form of godliness, but not according to the word of God, not according to the truth. And we have to get into this truth. We have to really begin to yield ourselves over to be used of God. The Jews who did understand the kingdom in that period were able to be free to save heaven on earth. Matthew 21:16. During that great tribulation, destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the hard times were coming, and still are. It just may be those who claim to represent him the most, the Christians. We got it down pat, you know. We got this thing down to a science. Churching and all that good stuff, we know when to clap our hands on cue. We praise on cue. Come on, somebody. We get our little shout in on cue. So we got it down to a science. So we're the ones that claim to know him the most. And so, but in fact, he's the most we misunderstand him the most. He's mostly misunderstood through us, through the Christian. Because like I said, we have our own agenda. We have a religious way of surrender. And you have to continually wipe out what you know or what somebody told you was the way it should be done. Know him in his word. Surrender over to him. When you begin to surrender over to God, things will change. You don't know when you surrender to the Lord because things in you change. Your way of thinking changes. You stop looking for things and start looking for holiness and the spirit and the aroma, the aura of the Holy Spirit. You start looking for the presence of God in everything. Stop wanting him to give to you, and you start giving him your time, giving him your finances. Yes, your finances. Don't be afraid to give, to be obedient to God. Giving him your life, giving him your love. You're not foolishly running after filthy lucre. Well, I'm going to buy this. I would, you know, give this, but I want this. I need this for myself. You become selfless because God said, I'll take care of your every need. Everything you desire, I'll even give you that. All I want you to do is surrender over to me. And we need to learn surrender. People of the Christians today have not really learned surrender. We have misrepresented God to people. We beat people over the head. You ain't nothing but a sinner. God, you know, if you don't just repent, God, you know, God going to destroy you. He's going to kill you. I mean, we beat people over the head, and we say things, and we tell them, oh, you know, you got that on you. You know, you ain't saved. And instead of showing the love of God to those that may not be saved, those that are just hanging there by a thread. And there are sometimes people come in the house of God, you don't know how to talk to them. We chop them up. We say all kind of words to them. We cut them up. We destroy them by our mouths. You can just, believe it or not, you can destroy a person just with words. Especially if you got somebody weak that can't stand to be talked to hard. And that's why when people tell me certain things, Pastor, if I was you, I would do such and such. And I tell them, I can't do it because you want me to. I have to move by the Spirit of God. There are some people that I can just hit them with a hammer and they'll bounce right back. And there are some that in order for me to deal with them, I got to pat them up like a little bitty baby and discipline them. So you have to know how to handle people. And if you don't know how to handle people, you're going to destroy the church. You're going to destroy them and destroy yourself. And I don't want nobody backsliding on God saying it was because of me. Because their blood will be on my hand, right? And so we can't, we miss him. We miss God when we misrepresent him that way. We have to be sold out totally and completely if we're going to walk in kingdom principles. Matthew 23:13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and I will not be called a scribe and a Pharisee and a hypocrite. Hello. But a lot of them in the church today, they may not be bearing that title, but that's their attitudes. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. And that's what we're the kingdom of heaven. We're supposed to open it up to people. But we shut it up because you don't look like me, you ain't saved. Hello? You don't talk like me, you don't know what I know, you ain't saved. So we shut it up. And the people that come in that really need the Lord, they don't want to come around us because we're too high up there. You know, we're too deep. I've been in this thing a long time. When you come in here, you got to come right. This is the hospital. Bring them in sick so God can heal them. And he'll heal the natural sick, but I'm talking about sick in mind, sick in spirit, sick in character. Those that need deliverance from unclean spirits, bring them to the house of God. And with the Spirit of God as the kingdom of God, you should be able to affect deliverance to those people. But if we come in the wrong frame of mind, we don't. And so he said, for you neither go in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. I will not be called a hypocrite because this is what we're about. It ain't about, you know, because I'm dressed all up and I'm the pastor and, you know, it all is cool and I'm over the church. But what about I have to be able to usher in those that are undesirable, the people that you don't want to be around. Those are the ones that God needs to heal. Those are the ones that God needs to deliver. We have to bring the kingdom to them. They have to look on us and see that we are the children. We're the kingdom children. We're walking in authority and dominion. And baby, because you look like that, God loves you. You don't have to look like that no more. Hello? We have to bring kingdom love to them. so that they don't want to come to God. Sometimes folks don't want to come to God because we make them feel like, you know, they're inferior, and they're not inferior. But we make them feel like that. Many Christians, or the majority of them, reduce Jesus' message to nothing more than a plan to getting to heaven. Well, I'm like, well, what you doing? How you doing, Brother So-and-so? Well, I'm just trying to make it in. How are you just trying to make it in? What are you doing? Okay, why are you trying to make it in? What are you doing that God can get glory out of right now? Because you got about 50 more years on this earth, Ella. And now you're just trying to make it in. What are you doing that's productive? Kingdom. How are you showing the kingdom to those that are lost? How are you introducing God? How are you helping those that are sick, those that are shut in? How are you helping those that are in need if you're just trying to make it in? It's not about you. Guess what? As Christians and as a saint, your walk is not about you, so get over it. Hello, I hate to break your bubble. It is not about you. When you came to Christ, everybody watched you. Everybody around you, those that know you, they start watching you. Huh? And the more you stand for Christ, the more they want to be just like you. But when you start dilling and dallying and slipping and sliding and gliding and moving from one end to the other, and every time they see you up 1 minute, down the next, you want to drink a little here, party there, and you want to go to church, you want to get high, you want to, when they see you doing all this stuff, they don't see no Christ in you. What have you done as far as kingdom ministry? Hello? What have you brought to them? What have you brought to them that portrays the glory of God? Where is your, we preached a message one time, insurance policy. Where is your insurance policy to them? They're coming to you looking for salvation, looking to be healed, looking to be saved. And when they come for you, what do they get? A slap in the face. Yeah, we do it. And we need to repent. And don't do that no more, because that's not what God said. That's not why we're saved. We're not saved just make it on into heaven. I'm just trying to make it in. Let me shuffle my way on in there, Daddy. All right, Bishop said you ain't going to fall over in heaven. But there's somebody you're going to pass on your way on that journey. Can you help them? Can you help them? Can you bring them on the journey with you? How many people are going to stand before the Father because you witnessed to them? You may not get them in there down right then, but plant a seed. Somebody else will come along and water it. And God will come along and increase it. Next thing you know, they're sitting up in the house of God. They may not come when you say, but they heard you preach the gospel. But I ain't no preacher. Say something. Give your testimony. Tell them God loves you. You don't have to be like that. Ask God to word your mouth so you can say something. Just live a life in front of them. That's the best witness you can give. Live a life in front of them so that they can see the joy of God in you, so that they can see you have changed. Because you know what? When you're in the world and you come to the Lord, the first thing they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to see how long you're going to be over there. Mm-hmm. I give you again a week. I give them a month. You last that week, I give them 3 weeks. You last, I give them a month. Yeah, I give them 6 months. You last, 6 months. I give them a year. They won't stop. They'll never stop. Well, she been saved 5 years. I give her 10. She almost out of it. They don't care. You ain't never holy enough for them. But they're watching you. And all of a sudden, they're coming to you. Say, can you pray for me? You going to church down here? Put this in the church. A little something. Every little something. Every now and then, they give you a little something, something. They come and sit around you. They want to hear something from you from the Bible. They want to hear you say something about the glory of your God. But if you sit there with them and don't open your mouth and they start talking wrong and you get in their wrong conversation, guess what? You just lose your opportunity. Did I say lose? Lost. I better straighten it. You just lost your opportunity. God always makes sure that we have a moment. There's always a moment for a Christian to put the word out there. There's always a moment. In the grocery line, you can open your mouth and say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God. God is so good. That's a door opener right there. Somebody may say, I don't know how good it is because you know what? I'm struggling right now. That's your opportunity to give your testimony right there about how good he is. How you can hold on. Just hold on. If you trust him, He'll bring you out. He did it for me. Blah, 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 blah. And there's a door opener right there. Once you get to talking, so you forget you're in the grocery line. You've been in the line for an hour and don't even know it. Time has passed by because you're doing, you're taking the kingdom to a dying nation. You're colonizing. The saints, we have an area. God has given us an area, and that's your land. That's the part around you. That's your family members. That's the neighbors, your colleagues, your coworkers, the people that you work with, the people that you see in the grocery store, anybody that comes in your contact, that's part of your colony. And you have an opportunity. God placed them there for that purpose, for you to open your mouth. And a lot of times we don't. Jesus is much more than our Savior. He overthrew death. Remember death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? He went into death and rose up. He took death, took the sting out of death. He did it first when he called Lazarus back. He left everything. And what makes it so, listen to this. He called Lazarus back from the dead, and nobody even got it. Those that did, they were already with him. But it ain't do nothing to make the scribes matter. Instead of saying, oh, my God, he defies death. There's something wrong here with this picture.
Right.
I got to get on the other side. I'm going to his side. Instead, they wanted to kill him even more. This man undefied death. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Because their focus was still on the flesh. They couldn't get over the fact that he came out of Nazareth. They said, nothing good ain't coming out of Nazareth. That's the ghetto. He came out of the ghetto. Ain't nothing good down there. That's what they say about us. They came out of the ghetto. Ain't nothing good coming out of the ghetto. And some of us, we prove it. Hello? We want to walk around, ladies, looking like they say, hoochie mamas. The guys want to walk around sagging their pants to the ground, so we tell the people, ain't nothing good in the ghetto. But the devil is a lie. God didn't make no junk. Hello? In the ghetto, you can get more. Ghetto, get more. But he's our deliverer, and he's our king. Don't forget that Jesus is the king. He's the king, and his kingdom is the earth. We are his, I don't know what they call them.
Subjects.
That's what it is, Elmer. We're his subjects. So act like it. We are under his rulership. We are under his kingship. We're his subject. Act like we are his kingdom. We're the people that occupy his kingdom. Because his kingdom people, his subjects are blessed. They have wealth. Now, nobody start looking at no $1 million. They ain't what I'm talking about. You'll get that too. But they have health. They have power. They have dominion and authority. And the little babies in his kingdom, someone can come to them sick and they can say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they don't have to grease them down and rub them down and throw them on the floor, nothing like that. Spin them like a baton. They ain't got to do that. All they got to do, because now they're kingdom. They got kingdom power now. When we get kingdom power, it's up to you. Because all Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? The miracle don't come from the grease and the oil and the laying on of hands. It comes from within you by the power of God. I will lay hands on you, but it's up to you to believe it. If you don't believe it, ain't going to happen. Don't get mad at Pat. Well, Pastor lay hands on me, and I still don't feel good. You get your sick self right on that door with it, too. He is our deliverer and king. Jesus is king of the kingdom. The kingdom is right here on earth. Until he come again, we got to occupy. We got to show forth his kingdom. It's on the men. It's on the beginning. It's a spiritual kingdom. After the earthly period of Jesus, his hand was over the kingdom of his Father in 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. Jesus' job is done now. Enter the maturity of the kingdom. Enjoy the benefits. Be victorious. Reign with him. Serve in this way in this beautiful rainbow nation. Hello? The rainbow is for the people of God. Homosexuals and gays have taken it as their symbol. It was not for that. It was a promise that God, he said, I'll put the bow in the sky just so when you see the bow, when you look up and you see the bow, you'll remember that I won't destroy the earth because of the sins of the people by water no more. I won't do that again. That was his promise to the people. The rainbow in the sky. Amen? 5 minutes. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share him in his glory. Colossians 3:1-4. Christ is revealed already 2,000 years ago in the whole world. And as a result, you will share in his glory, for he has called you to share in the glory of the kingdom. You will share in the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Know who you are in Christ. He came that we would share. He said, I brought you the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. What are the keys? He defied death. Gave authority, left the Holy Spirit, because he said, I know y'all don't be able to do this by yourself. If you can't walk in kingdom principles, you don't have the Holy Spirit, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit so you'll have strength and be able to walk as a kingdom child, as a subject under the king. If you don't submit unto him, you can't resist the devil. Therefore, you don't have kingdom authority, and the devil will utterly destroy you. You'll always be going through destruction. In the kingdom, the king's kids are blessed. The subjects lean to the king because we carry out his laws and his principles. We make sure that we're looking and searching to give all that are around us what the king has to offer. People are looking to you to see the kingdom. They ain't gonna know to look in the spirit. They don't know that yet. But you, that's why you come to learn of God, so that you can apply kingdom principles to your life. So you cannot look at what you see in the natural and begin to see things as they are in the spiritual and believe what the word of God says. Don't worry about what people say, but believe what God's word says. He's able. He will undoubtedly do. Thou shalt not. I'm not going to do it. Hello? Like I said, stop searching and reading ingredients on that food we eat. We're sick because we make ourselves sick with the food we eat. Then God got to heal us. No, he don't. You make yourself sick. Heal yourself. Stop drinking them sodas for about a month and see what happens. A month, Melissa. That's me and you. Amon. Who else? Sandy, Amon. Who else? Anybody over here? So the people. Yolanda, you forever. Not just Amon, you forever. Bishop, Amon. Y'all see good on picture. See me? Amon. Some headaches. Come on. In that first set of first 3 days, you may go through a little withdrawal. You'll be drooling for just drink water. Something y'all hooked on soda. Ella Marion, Amon. I know you thought I won't say nothing with your head down. I saw you. See, Ms. Marion don't drink all them sodas, so I say that to her. Nicole? Okay. Yeah. Soda. Gatorade, okay. You do good. Let us get some water. Water, Yolanda. So don't go to Wendy's no more. They don't sell. Don't buy them. Don't buy them. They don't sell. We got them in here. So what we're going to do is we're going to switch from the water, from the sodas. Once y'all buy them up. And we're going to buy some water with flavor. We're going to have all those different flavors in there, the meal. And you tell us what flavor you want, and we'll give it to you to put in your water. How about that? And see, we can't do this. We can do it. We need to get our bodies lined up so that we can walk in kingdom deliverance, right? Amen. Because you can't. You sit up on the seat, right? So the Lord will deliver. People say, really? Hello? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Any questions on tonight? Our cutoff time. Any questions? Any comments? Amen. Amen. you are going to share in the glory of God. Once you begin to understand the laws and the principles of God as far as kingdom living here on earth, once we get a clarity on that, get a clear understanding, you start walking, it won't look like it's nothing. It won't feel like it. Understand that it's not a feeling walk with God. Everything we do in God is spiritual, and that's by faith. By faith. Everything we do in God is by faith, and that's how it manifests itself. If you want it to manifest, then you will have to operate that manner, in that manner, in that way, by faith. Hello. And once we begin to pull ourselves under subjection, let's work on our bodies first, get them lined up with God. We got, what, a month, 2 months. Okay, this is what, July? I'm going to look at everybody in April. I mean April. What coming up July? August. No, September. Don't y'all be laughing at me. But come after, okay, August, September. September. By the women's conference time. I'll be looking at y'all ladies again. And Bishop, y'all take good. Now, Bishop drank a lot of Pepsi. Now, Bishop. Stand up, baby. Stand up. Stand up, Bishop. Stand up. No, because I want them to see you now. Watch what happened when he stopped those Cokes and those Pepsi. Y'all take a good look at him now. Because he just melts away. He does them because he don't want to be skinny. But they're not healthy. If I don't drink something or eat some ice cream, I'm going to be skinny. So he eat all that so he don't be skinny. Because he'll melt away, and I get so mad at him. Why are you melting away, and I'm doing the same thing, and I'm still fat? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Amen. God bless you. We thank God for you. Tell me about the kingdom principles over there. Elder Marion, I didn't get you last week. What we learned tonight. Tell me what tonight, what we talked about tonight.
The main point I got was that the misunderstanding that when Jesus came, Jesus was pointing the way to the kingdom and kingdom life. Hallelujah. Remember he said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundant.
Amen.
We can have the kingdom right here. We can have it. We can have everything that God planned for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
God had a plan for us to live abundantly. Still, like you say, I never even fell, then it just went haywire. But when Jesus came, he brought it back. He came to bring it back in life.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed the way to kingdom living.
Exactly. I didn't get last week. Nicole, you weren't here last week. Tell me about kingdom living. You weren't here last week, but what do you get tonight? Tonight?
A lot tonight. I think it kind of applies to my life, mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do now. I mean, from, I don't know what part of where you said it at, I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but when you basically were saying and talking about, I mean, what we have done, I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
is what we need to stop
mm-hmm.
in order to, you know, keep doing what we're doing. So that God will look at us and see. I mean, because I'm one of those people who always go right back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been trying
at
first, and then I run right back and go back into my old way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to know that, I mean, every time I do that, that's why I be so hard for me, because Satan attacks me more.
Exactly.
More. I mean, that, it's not even crazy, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Because it does, it seems like it gets harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a freak person. I never gave my testimony, but I mean, I'm a freak, a woman, and that's bad. I'm a woman and I'm a freak woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but now I understand, basically.
Right.
I understand what I'm going through, and I can't keep saying why. It's me. I called it. I'm doing it. But I'm proud of myself to be sitting here tonight because I made that sacrifice to say, Lord, enough is enough. And
right.
I got to keep pressing. I got to. I mean, I haven't been doing the thing that I have in about 7 or 8 months now. And I got people that's around me like, come on, we need you. And I keep shutting them down. And I'm proud of myself.
Good for you.
I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And I need some cash right now, but I'm studying, standing, and I'm depending on God.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling him, and I'm like, Lord, I can't say it and don't believe you.
That's right.
I was in the hospital last night. I got a terrible report, but before I got there, I told him, I said, Lord, he said, I'm healed by your Christ. And I'm going to believe you forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it may look like, how bad I may feel,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. And I got a bad report, but when they came back and all the tests came back, they was like, well, we don't see this. So that's all we got.
Yeah. God did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank God. Mm-hmm.
You know? And
amen.
I'm trying to continue to draw those people. You say, what do we do? Everybody keeps telling me that they see the change. They see
mm-hmm.
me reading the word. I wake up faithfully in the morning, and I got a praise and worship playlist
mm-hmm.
where I was not turning off until all the songs is played and I'm finished praising God. That's what was so amazing when Bishop told me Sunday. He said, just keep praising God. I said, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might not know how to pray that good, but when I tell you I praise him, I'm
that's
just
that,
thanking
that's
him and
that's
him
more
him
important.
And thanking him and thanking
yeah.
him.
Praises, prayer, baby.
It's just confirmation.
Yeah.
I'm good. I mean, honestly, I feel good.
Yeah.
To know that he is telling me to stay with him. And he gonna let me down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be letting myself down when I keep running away from him, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna stay with him.
Yeah. Amen. That's a good one. Yeah. Amen. That's a good one thing she said, that she keep praising him. She don't know how to pray. But how many know praise is prayer?
Simple,
and it's the best prayer you can give. I praise more than I pray. More than I pray. I say my prayers and then I praise. I praise a while simply because praise destroy yokes. Praise put me in the place of God that my constantly talking can get me there. But you're worshiping him, and he said he inhabits our praises. So that means the more you praise him, the more he comes to you. When he come on the scene, he come to do just what he said he's going to do, heal, deliver, and set free. So praises brings him close to you. We can talk ahead of message and don't mean a thing, but it gets your heart prepared to receive the things of God because it gets you out of yourself. And when I say praise, that's why when I tell people to praise God and I go through this deep praise, it's because I know that everybody needs to get out of themselves so that God can come in and do what he needs to do. Because, honey, if you don't do or say nothing else, praising is the best thing you can do. And I tell people in a minute, go through your house praising God until you feel just the shaking of the roof. Just praise him and praise him and praise him. And that's very, very important. So that's awesome. If you do nothing else but praise him, the talking will come. So your Our Father prayer, you said enough right there. Our Father who art in heaven, you said enough right there. Your whole prayer, everything is covered right there. All of you don't need to talk no more. God already know what you have need of. Then praise him. Glorify him. See, we think our much speaking is going to make it. But the Bible says not for those that speak so much, you ain't got to say so much. It's just, Lord, I'm a sinner. I messed up. Saved by grace. Thank you for saving me. Hello. We all are sinners. But God saved us through the blood of his son, Jesus. And so we need to thank him for that every day. That's awesome. And it pushes you. And the more you praise him, you find your whole mind changing. Not only your mind, but the atmosphere around you will change. Folk will start backing away. And those that want to make a difference will start coming closer. God will start moving and shifting things because your praises bring his authority. And you'll notice that even the atmosphere around you will start to change. Amen. Amen. So, Sandy, talk to me about what you heard tonight. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you're in trouble. You did.